I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
What's so great about that as a song for this is it illustrates the problems with the amendment process as as a contrast to the way legislation works and goes through all these committees and these hearings and these discussions and these negotiations and just all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's wonderful. Plus, it just makes you smile. It always makes you smile to hear anything from Schoolhouse Rocks. So we've been talking about the amendments. We had a bit of an interruption yesterday because we have a regularly scheduled interview with Janice Gilley. And, you know, I'll just tell you, frankly, I never know when to discuss this stuff. I know we've already had, 25-30% of people have voted. So what is the point talking about it now? Well, a lot of people haven't. Okay, a lot of people haven't. And I, you know, if I talk about it a month ago, it's so far in advance of the election, nobody pays attention yet. So it's just a challenge, given the way we do elections these days. So, by the way, last night I had a really good debate forum with Alex Andrade and Diane Cromwell. You can see that on our Facebook page. A lot of stuff card. We're not going to get to any of that today. I'm going to try to get stuff for Monday. Frankly, I did not have time to cut the audio. With the presidential debate following immediately after it, and I was up to 11:30 working on show prep, which is, I mean, not uncommon for me, but I just did not have time to get to that. So I'm sorry. We'll cover it on Monday, plus some other stuff on Monday that I didn't get to this week that's really important. Anyway, continuing the discussion of the amendments, we've done amendments 1 through 4. You can find those on our podcast page where I give my discussion about those. I think I have been a no on all of them so far. And for various reasons, but let's go ahead and continue that conversation now. Where did it go? Oh, there it is. Okay. So the 5th amendment that you're going to have the chance to vote on, and by the way, 5 and 6 are they're a whole lot easier, honestly, to assess in some ways, but they're a little bit more obscure too. Like they don't apply to everybody. I mean, the minimum wage to $15 an hour, that's going to affect everybody's life. Whether you make the minimum wage or not, that's going to affect your life, right? And the way primaries work, Amendment 3, that's going to, you know, that's going to affect everybody's life if it winds up getting passed. So, you know, that's major stuff. But number 5 is kind of an odd one because it has to do with this relatively obscure provision in the way that homestead deductions, I guess, are allowed, homestead exemptions. Actually, it was my wife who was kind of explaining this one to me because when I first read it, I'm like, what does this even do? So let me read you the amendment and then, you know, we'll kind of talk about how it actually functions. My wife is much more into the, you know, like property side of things. So it basically says, here's what the full text says. Proposing an amendment to the state constitution effective January 2021 to increase from 2 to 3 years the period of time during which accrued Save Our Homes benefits may be transferred from a prior homestead to a new homestead. Okay. What does that mean? Well, first of all, it seems weird because you're taking a homestead exemption and you're allowing it to be carried over for a longer period of time. Why from 2 years to 3 years? Well, and I'll get to explaining what it is in a second. But why 2 years to 3 years is because the goal of the legislature was to make it 2 years. But but what they didn't account for is the fact that if you sell your home, get the dates right on this, if you sell your home near the end of the year, you wind up, I think this is the way this works, you only would get like a year and a couple of days worth of it. And they wanted to make sure you had it for 2 years. So the way to solve that is to bump up the time to 3 years. So if you sell it at the end of the year, you actually have 2 years and a couple of days. You follow? So their goal was to make it 2 years. This remedy is a kind of a legislative oversight in the way they designed it. What is it, though? Okay. It has to do with, again, my understanding, it has to do with when your home increases in value, there's only so fast that it's supposed to increase in value, and that sort of reduced increase in value means you year over year pay a lower increase in taxes. Well, if you then sell your home and buy a more expensive home, typically what would happen is you'd just start paying taxes on the new home value. What this is designed to do is to take the gap in the increased assessment value of your home that can only go up so much, and the actual value of your home, sale price of your home, take that gap and apply it as a gap to your new home when you buy it, and to keep that gap exemption carryover in place for, as I say, 3 years instead of 2 years. That's it. That's the idea. Okay? So, what does it do? It gives people a longer time to take advantage of an already existing exemption. So, from one perspective, you might say, this is really simple. It takes something that we are already able to do, and it just gives it a little bit longer, was intended to be the original legislative purpose, to do it. So how can you be against it? I'm just kind of against things that don't make, you know, aren't super clear to me. I don't see the exact reason that we ought to have it in the first place. And it seems like it allows you tax exemptions on taxes that you maybe should be paying. I understand the argument for the slow increase in home assessed value because you don't want to jack up people's taxes. That's where you get the problems and people being priced out of the homes they already exist and can't afford the taxes, right, as that happens. But to carry that over into when you buy a new home, well, I mean, just don't buy a new home. Or don't buy a home that's worth, I mean, you know, you can avoid that problem by staying in the old home. I'm not sure I buy the argument for this. So complicated, putting in the Constitution. Right now that you've already got a year, that seems adequate to me, or 2 years, you know, possibly. So I'm a no. But it's not one that I'm real passionate about. I'm just telling you that's kind of where I come down on it. The papers are all kind of split on this. I will tell you what gives me pause. The League of Women Voters of Florida, they are against it. And I tend to, whatever they say, I'm probably going to be on the other side. But they're against it because they don't like seeing it in the Constitution. And they don't like the state government overriding what the local governments can do. And I tend to actually agree with that. Okay, I tend to agree with that. The other one, number six, and I think we got enough time to finish these off today because this is a very simple one. Number six has to do with the, again, it has to do with property taxes. It provides that the homestead property tax discount for certain veterans with permanent combat-related disabilities carries over to such veteran surviving spouse who holds legal or beneficial title to and who permanently resides on the homestead property until he or she remarries or sells or otherwise disposes of the property. The discount may be transferred to a new homestead property of the surviving spouse under certain conditions. The amendment takes effect 2021. It's very simple. If you're a combat veteran with disabilities, you're going to have a homestead property tax discount because of that. Who disagrees with this, right? This says that if you're married and you're a disabled veteran and you have a homestead tax discount because of this, then when you die, it passes to your surviving spouse, presuming that that person doesn't remarry. I'm done. this is about as easy as you could imagine it. Now, I am generally against special categories for homestead taxes. I just don't like that general idea. But if we're already going to do this, and we do, then, you know, fine. The only one thing that I'm concerned about is this issue, again, of putting it in the Constitution as opposed to doing it legislatively. But this is one of those, like, it's really hard to find an argument against it. So I'm a yes on this one.